Lord, I just thank you so much for each and every one of these women here, Lord. I thank you that my daughter Grace could be here too with us this morning. I ask, Lord, that you would come and you would fill this place, Lord, and that you would speak to our hearts, Lord, and you know each one of us so intimately, Lord, and I just ask, God, that you would meet with us, Lord, and minister your truth, minister your hope, minister your love to us, Lord Jesus. And I thank you ahead of time because I know you already are hearing this prayer. And I know, Lord, that you love these women so greatly, so dearly, and so intimately. And so we give you this time that we're spending in your word together and ask, God, that you would bless your word in Jesus' name. Amen. So here is Sarah. And I don't know about you, but when I first thought about Sarah, I thought, wow, she is the woman that made this decision that still affects us to this very day. What do we think of her? But you know, the more that I studied and the more that I read and thought about this woman named Sarah, the more that I thought, you know, I am kind of like her. And I think too that if you be honest, that as you open the word and you are looking yourselves, that you feel, yeah, there's things that I have in common with Sarah too, and I like her. I mean, she was spunky, you know. Here her husband Abraham comes to her and says, "Honey, we're moving," you know, and she doesn't bat an eyelash. We don't see her digging her heels. She says, "Okay, let's go," and you know, bless her heart. There she was, and it wasn't in the days of U-Haul. It wasn't the days of here's this moving service, comes and packs all your belongings and then puts it on the truck for you. No, this woman she was in charge of servants and people, and she had to have some capabilities. And I think when I was studying this, I actually had to start back in the earlier chapters of Genesis. You know, I think right away we go and say, okay, where's the first time that Sarah's name appears? And we go there and we start from there. But I want to take you back to chapter 11 of Genesis to see what this generation's mindset was, because in the 11th chapter, what are the people of Earth doing? They're gathering together and they are trying to build something that no one's ever built. These are hardworking people. And they all speak one language. They all have the same words. And so they come together and they say, we're going to build something that nobody's ever built before. We're going to build something that goes up to heaven, and we're going to work together, and we're going to do this. We're going to strive to do this. So this is the mindset of this generation. They're very driven. They're very determined. They work very hard. So when we flip over to chapter 12 and we see the calling of Abraham, we see it as a call, and we have the luxury of hindsight. We look back on this, and we see all these things that have happened. We see all these things, and we think, oh, you know, if I were told by God and promised that I would just sit back and relax, and I'd do exactly what he said. We have that luxury because we know the end of the story. We know it all works out well. We know that miraculously that Sarah's given a baby. But if you were Sarah, and this was your generation, and this was your mindset of striving, working hard, and doing these things to accomplish what you knew was the goal, your mindset would be different, and your expectation would be different. And so I want to put you back in that mindset so you understand just how profound this was, that this happened to Sarah, that God did this for Sarah and for Abraham. So I just did a little review of Sarah herself. She was Abraham's wife, but she was, in fact, his half-sister. She was born of a woman who was also married to Abraham, who was not Abraham's mother. And she was barren. Very early on, she would have discovered she was not able, time and time again, to even get pregnant. And I just stopped there because what a burden, what a sadness to realize that in yourself that there's the inability to bear children. And in that culture, in that time, that would have had so much to do with her identity, her self-worth, her ability to give her husband an heir. And it would have just been a very heavy blow. It would have been a daily burden, very similar to what we saw with Hannah. And I think that it's a good story for us to look at as women, because there's nothing more saddening or heavy to carry than an inability in yourself to do something. You know, you just it's such a roadblock to joy. And if you've ever had that struggle, I think that it's hard to have a ministry of any kind of peace or comfort, you know, and I'm sure some of you have either experienced that yourself, or you know dear friends or family that have struggled with infertility. And so I think as women, I think Sarah, with this physical struggle that she had, I think it ministers to us too, because we have struggles. We might have struggles physically also, but we might also have different challenges too that seem absolutely insurmountable within our own strength, within our own ability, within our own capability. And we might come up against that every day, and we might find it absolutely disheartening. We might find it absolutely overwhelming. And so just know that if that's where you are, you identify with Sarah too. You are like Sarah too. And we also go on to read through the chapters that Sarah was a beautiful woman. And as I look out on the audience, I see many beautiful women. So again, you are like Sarah. She was so beautiful that her husband was fearful every time he went up against, when he went into Egypt the first time. He said, okay, they're going to see how beautiful she is. They're going to say, let's take him out and we'll take that beautiful wife. And so he had arranged with Sarah ahead of time and said, please help me preserve my very life and say that you're my sister, and then they'll treat me kindly. And sure enough, they did. And that's exactly what happened. And again, with Abimelech. She was also a very practical person, our Sarah, right? She saw that after so many years, even though there was a promise, even though Abraham was told, you will be a father of nations, she still was very practical and said, right, but I cannot have children. How is this going to work? 2 + 2 = 4. This formula with me and you, I don't see this working out. She was very practical in her way of thinking. And we also note, too, that at the very end of her life, in Genesis 23:2, it says that after her death, Abraham went in to mourn for Sarah and to weep for her because he greatly loved Sarah. It wasn't just her beauty. They were connected. You know, if you have, like, the love story, this is actually a love story too. Sarah was greatly loved by her husband Abraham. And gosh, sorry, getting weepy already. Anyway, but she also loved Abraham. And I love too the language when we look at how she received his counsel when he had said, you know, don't tell them that you're my wife. Tell these people that you're my sister. And she didn't sit there and say, well, that's just ridiculous. You know, she didn't put her hand on her hip and, you know, get all in his face and try and tell him how it was. It says that she did him the kindness of telling Pharaoh and Abimelech that he was his sister. And I appreciate that about her as a wife, that there was kindness in their relationship. She was not just loving, because, you know, we can say that with our mouths sometimes as wives. We can say, yes, I love you, honey. And we can even say it daily, so daily that sometimes it's not so meaningful. What does that really mean? But she did that with her actions too. He asked her, would you do me this kindness? And she said, yes, I will. I will be kind. I will actually do something that I don't totally understand. I'm not sure that's really the right thing to do, but I will do you this kindness, because if it would preserve your very life, man, the life of the man that I love, I will do that. And so she did. just a little, some notes on Abraham. He was a wealthy man, and he had many possessions. This is also, too, within the context of this generation that we're living in. He was very hardworking. He was obviously knowledgeable in business and animal husbandry, because it says when they moved that he took all of his people, all of his possessions with him, and they were great in number. And then also, too, he was actually proven, he must have been proven in combat and in and had some military skill also, because in Genesis 14, when the battle between all those kings, five kings and four kings, they war, and they actually take Lot and his family captive, Abraham doesn't seem to bat an eyelash. He just gathers these troops together, he arms them, and they go, and they take back what was taken from them, and who doesn't admire that? You know, so Abraham was this very capable, knowledgeable, wise man. And again, who doesn't love that in a man, right? A leader and strong and courageous. But he was also a spiritual leader, and he was a merciful man, because we see later on too, when God shares with Abraham that there is going to be destruction of the people in Sodom and Gomorrah, Abraham goes and he pleads for him, doesn't he? He intercedes on their behalf. And so again, Sarah knows that she's got a good guy. This is a keeper, this Abraham. So even at the same time that she admires all these things in her husband, she still looks at this promise and she still thinks, wow, how can I make this promise come to fruition? You know, she understands that they are one flesh. This promise is given to Abraham that he'll be the father of a great nation, that his offspring will have these promises. And she must have been thinking, okay, it's been 10 years. My husband's been given this promise, but I don't have any children. And was she getting fed up? Was she at her breaking point? You know, have you ever waited for a promise to be fulfilled for years and years and years and just despaired altogether? Well, here's our Sarah. She's not giving up. What does she do instead? She has a plan. She says, right, I can't have children, but someone in my household, I'll give him to Hagar. And then he will have an heir, because she's trying to, you know, make this make sense in her mind. So she's thinking, okay, right, he will have an heir. He will have a child. I'm not able to, so this is how I will do this. What a determined woman. You got to love her, right? Trying to get it done one way or another. But the problem is that is not the actual promise. That was not the clear understanding of what God had promised, was it, ladies? And so finally, in chapter 17 of Genesis, God brings this covenant promise clearly into focus for Abraham. And so again, he has to talk with them. They have to have this one-on-one. So God tells Abraham, he says, I'm going to make an everlasting covenant with you, and I'm going to give you a sign of keeping this covenant, and that's circumcision. And then God says that Sarah will be a mother of nations, and that she will actually bear a child in her old age. Any questions now, Sarah? Right? Because she was still thinking, I somehow have to make this happen. I'm going to make this all the way it should be, just like God said. And she was still, I believe, trying to make it happen in her own strength, in her own understanding. And I think Abraham, you know, in response to this declaration, he thinks, this is crazy. He's absolutely dumbfounded, unable to comprehend it. And so he laughs. And then Abraham said to God, this here in verse 19 of chapter 17, he says, oh, that Ishmael may live before you. Well, actually, he says that in verse 18. But then in verse 19, God absolutely spells it out for Abraham. He says, no. God said, no. Sarah, your wife, shall bear you a son, and you shall call his name Isaac, and I will establish my covenant with him as an everlasting promise for his offspring after him. And then here it is in Genesis 21. It says, So the Lord visited Sarah as he had said, and the Lord did to Sarah as he promised. And Sarah conceived and bore Abraham a son in his old age, at the time of which God had spoken to him. And isn't it so reassuring that if God gives you a promise, God gives me a promise, he is the one who starts it. He's the instigator. He's the one who establishes it. He's going to accomplish it one way or another. He's good for it. He's trustworthy. He is able. Sarah was absolutely unable. I think until the time when her time of womanhood, you know, when she knew she could no longer bear children, I think she still was thinking, maybe I can still make this happen. I wonder if she was like some of the other women in the Bible. They tried the mandrakes. You know, the women got together and huddled in a tent and talked about all their women things, like what can we do, what tonic can we take, what other herbal thing can we do, you know, how can we make this happen? I think even until then, I think maybe she tried those things, just on the off chance that maybe if I work hard enough, if I try hard enough, I can do this. But it didn't work that way, did it? And isn't that with us too, ladies? Sometimes we do that in our own lives. There's something insurmountable. There's some mountain that we're not able to climb. There's some problem that we just can't see. Lord, how can I do this? How can I fix this? How can I make this what it should be? You know, and finally, what happens? Don't we hit that wall? Don't we throw our hands up? Don't we just say, forget it? There's nothing in me. There's absolutely no way that I can see or understand to do this. And I think that that's when we have to remember in Genesis 18, I love that the Lord asked such a great question. The rhetorical questions that go out all the time, but in Genesis 18, verse 14, the question is there anything too hard for the Lord? Is there? Is there? There isn't. Does there seem to be at times? Absolutely. Are you in one of those times where something seems way too hard for the Lord? It seems too hard for us. We run out of our ability. We run out of hope. We run out of resources. We run out of strength. I remember a time, too, when I wasn't as old as Sarah, but I'd miscarried twice, and I thought, I don't know if I can even have children, you know? I don't know if this can even happen with me, because, you know, you don't know. You don't know ahead of time. You just, you know, you get married, and you go into it, and your expectation is, well, yeah, we'll have children. We might have lots of children, you know, depending on your conversation with your husband and, you know, and your family plan. And so I had just thought, too, it should just be really easy, because there's all these women around me when I was newly married, and they were, like, getting pregnant. Like, it was easy as riding a bike or, you know, falling off the curb. I just thought, okay, great. You know, I thought this will happen. This will happen to us sooner or later. But for me, unfortunately, it was a miscarriage, and then it was time, and the doctor said, well, you know, just take it easy and recuperate, and then, you know, in a little while, try again. We tried it again, and, you know, another miscarriage. And so I can feel what Sarah felt as far as that, wow, I wonder if I even have the ability for this. I wonder if I can even do this. Is my body going to actually, does it even work? You know? And it was a helpless feeling. It was a frustrating feeling. It was a very depressing feeling to feel that I had this desire. I believe that this was what I was meant to do, yet I had the inability to do it. And I remember many talks with the Lord, many talks with people, lots of prayer, lots of tears. And the fulfillment is sitting in the front row over there next to Kathy Gilbert. And, you know, but I think we walk through these times because it builds our faith. We walk through these times because we get such a wonderful picture of his grace and of God's goodness and his faithfulness to us. And the verse that he gave me that I'm going to share with you is in James chapter 1, verse 7. And it's what I put on the birth announcements when Grace was born, because I believe it's Sarah's heart, too. If she could have had a favorite verse, too, I think she would have had this as her verse also. And it's James chapter 1, verse 17, which says, "Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change or variation." And I love that. And I think that Sarah realized that, you know, she realized that there was nothing in her that could accomplish what God had set before her. Nothing. Absolutely. Door totally closed. You know, she was at the age of where she should have been a grandmother, and she still had no child. But yet God did this supernatural thing in her life. He did this amazing, miraculous, physically, naturally inexplainable thing for her and for Abraham. And ladies, I'm here this morning to tell you that that's what he wants to do in your life too. Whether it's in your marriage, whether it's in your children, if it's something to do with your work, or maybe it's something too with ministry that the Lord has promised you and it hasn't yet come to fruition, it hasn't yet been fulfilled. That's a promise though. God is good on his promises. And so what an encouragement it is to know that we do serve a God who says, yeah, there's nothing too hard for me. There's nothing too hard for me. So come to me. You're at the end of the road. You're depleted all your resources, all your strength, all your hope to hope, all your prayers that you've prayed and they've been unanswered and they've fallen, you feel like they've fallen to the ground or they've hit the ceiling. The Lord would say to you today, there isn't anything too hard for me. But maybe it's that you need to agree with him. Maybe you need to agree and say, Lord, like Sarah did, I can't do this. I absolutely can't do this. So now, Lord, come and show. Come and show your glory in this. Just like he did with that man that was born lame. He was born lame for what purpose? So that the Lord could be glorified in his weakness. And Lord, the Lord would have us, I think, ladies, this morning, delight in our weakness. The world, it doesn't always make sense. It didn't make sense in this generation that Abraham and Sarah lived in either. A can-do, work hard, strive, and get things done sort of generation. We live in that kind of generation today, don't we, too? You know, if you don't know how to do anything, somebody else does, and they've put it on YouTube, right? So we dial in, we look it up. I mean, we do that on a weekly basis. I know I do. Ken's done it before with everything from tying a bow tie to fixing, you know, small repairs on your cars. I mean, we know we do it because we are a can-do kind of people. It's our culture. It's what we know. It's what, you know, that's what you do. If you don't know, you go figure out with somebody else and you do it. But ladies, with spiritual things, with the promises of God, with the hard things in our life, let's come to the Lord. Let's lay it at his feet. Let's pray with one another and let's seek him and ask him, Lord, be what I can't be. Do what I can't do. Fix what to me seems unfixable. And Lord, thank you so much for your hope that you give us, that you can do those things for us. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, how kind you are to us. Lord, how loving and merciful you are, that as we come to you in weakness, Lord, that as we say there's parts of our lives that are broken, that don't work, that need to change. Lord, there's parts of our lives that need rescue, just flat out rescue. Lord, thank you that we can come to you, and we can come to you like Sarah, wholly unable, wholly incapable, but here and looking to you as our only expectation. And what do you give us, Lord, in return? You give us the fulfillment of the promise. You show, Lord, your faithfulness to us. And you even give us great joy. You give us joy in our understanding that we actually get to see, Lord, your goodness, that the whole time that promise has been waiting to be fulfilled, and we've grown impatient, and we've grown weary, but the whole time, Lord, that you had it, just as that the Lord that you said to Abraham so many years ago, you told him, I have made you the father of many nations. I have done this. When yet Abraham hadn't seen it. And Lord, encourage our hearts today, Lord, if we need to know and understand that. That though we don't see with our eyes the fulfillment of what you've promised us, Lord, that you are good on your promise. That you are the keeper and the fulfiller of those precious promises that you give us. And may that encourage our hearts, Lord. And would you speak to us again, too, Lord, to each and every one of these women, Lord, that nothing, nothing is too hard for you. And we love you, Lord. We thank you so much for your goodness. And we just bless your name together. And everybody said, Amen.